Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, broadcasting this week from the Names for the Nameless division here at Car Talk Plaza.
Who's nameless?
Well, it's not who, it's what, actually. You see, every time it snowed this past winter, and in fact, every winter, cars came into the garage and they all had one thing in common.
Yeah. No appointment.
Well, that too, but they all come in with these enormous chunks of icy, slushy snow hanging off the wheel wells. You know what I'm talking about.
Sure, I know.
But the problem is, we never know what to call these things.
Yeah, they don't have a name.
Exactly. So we put a note on our Facebook page and on Twitter, and we asked for suggestions.
And?
Well, and here are some of the suggestions.
Yeah, I'm ready. Go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
Fenderbergs, you know, like icebergs.
That's good.
Carsicles or carnicles, you know, like carnicles. On boats, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Car boogers. Well, scratch that off the list. All right. How about winteroids?
Oh, no.
Well, here's one I like. Cargaritas with salt, you know, like margaritas.
I like
and then there's Main Street sorbet. That's not bad.
Yeah, that's good.
Slush polyps. And finally, this one, cream of street. Well, look, if you'd like to support one of these names, or you've got other ideas, you can join the discussion at our website, cartalk.com. In the meantime, if you've got a carnicle that's dragging you down, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi.
Who's this?
This is Darlene. I'm calling from West St. Paul, Minnesota.
Darlene. Oh, Minnesota. I got
Minnesota.
That.
Minnesota.
I have a 2003 Saturn View.
Uh-huh.
And about 2 months ago, the steering wheel started squeaking when I would turn corners. And it kind of made it sound like, and then it'd have a squeal in the background.
Uh-huh.
Could you tell where the sound was coming from?
Yeah, it's coming from the steering column.
Okay.
Ah, okay.
Okay, so I'm driving with my son-in-law, and it starts making that noise, and he looked at me, and it was like the noise was coming from me.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, I better have this looked at. So I made an appointment to go to my mechanic.
Yeah.
And I made up a batch of brownies, is what you guys say
to
do.
By the way, we were recently rebuked for not recommending that guys bring baked goods.
Oh,
see,
sure.
We generally just ask, assuming that women are better bakers, but that's a cultural bias, obviously, that we shouldn't have. There are probably plenty of guys who could cook brownies too.
You know, with a brownie mix, anybody can do it.
Oh, really? Okay. Anyway, continue.
I made my brownies and I took it in and gave them the brownies, and they said, "Well, we'll take a look at it." They called me up and they said, "Well, we got it fixed. We really don't know what was wrong with it. But they took something off and put some kind of lubricant on it."
Oh, okay.
And they said no charge.
Oh, you really? Taken it to the GM dealer?
No. I took it to my local mechanic.
So the noise you had, if I'm correct, is it would make it whether you were driving or sitting still, but the engine had to be running.
Well, yeah, because you have power.
Because you can't turn the wheel otherwise unless you're a gorilla. And and the noise was like a...
Yeah,
you know, the steering column goes through the floor. There's a rubber boot that it goes through, and I'm guessing that they probably just lubricated that with some silicone spray. That's what we do.
But the noise is back again.
Oh, of course it is.
Huh.
So I just went and bought 8 boxes of brownie mix.
Well, you may have to go back. There may be something else, and probably he should probably, if he has access to Mitchell's or Alldata or whatever, should probably look in the TSBs to see if there's a legitimate fix for this. There may be some other place to put the lubrication, or there may be something else that needs to be done.
They can fix it long term.
Define long term.
Once a month.
No, they should be able to fix it for longer than that.
Ah.
There is a place where that steering column does go through the firewall, basically.
Uh-huh.
And that's probably where the squeak is coming from. You could do something, Darlene. You could do a little investigation of your own.
Exactly.
Oh, what, like crawl under my car? I don't think so.
Not under the car, but under the dashboard, because that's where the noise is coming from, I trust.
Uh-huh.
And you could probably have an assistant.
Like my son-in-law.
Like your son-in-law.
Yes, exactly.
Turn the wheel. Oh, better than that.
Let him stick his head under the edge.
Right, let the son-in-law.
You move the steering wheel.
Yep,
exactly.
Okay.
So you turn the steering wheel, and you have that dope, that wonderful son-in-law. Let him stick his head under there, and he'll
say, uh-huh.
Here's where the noise is coming from, and he'll find the spot to lubricate it.
Okay. So now he's probably listening to this, and he knows that I've set him up.
Yeah, and he's also going to know you think he's a dope, too, because when we said that, you laughed. But that's all right. That's the domain of every mother-in-law, to think her son-in-law is a dope.
Well, thanks for the great advice.
All right, good luck, darling.
Good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye.
888. Oh, there goes some more, another family relationship down the drain. 888-CAR-TALK.
You can't have everything.
That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jalinda. I'm calling from Bath in Ohio.
Jalinda, wait a minute.
Okay, wait a minute. We can spell that.
J-I-L-L-A-N-D-A?
Oh, no, J-I-L-I-N-D-A.
Jalinda.
Yeah, it was Jill, and then I was adopted, and so my biological mother's middle name was Linda. Linda, so the Jill became Jalinda.
Jalinda.
Isn't that cool?
It's a unique name, obviously.
Weird is another way, but anyway.
Weird,
unique,
yeah, and you're from, we're from Bath?
Bath, Ohio. It's a little township near Akron.
Got it.
Okay.
Great, thanks for calling.
No, I need your help. We have begun to establish the Volvo Valhalla in our backyard.
Oh, that's bad.
I was counting them up. We have owned 9 Volvos in our marriage, our 40 years of marriage, and I'd kind of like to get the backyard cleaned out without having to call the neighbors and ask them to call the cops, you know?
Oh, you're saving all the ones you...
No, she's not saving anything.
Well, how many cars has he got in the backyard?
Only 2 right now.
Huh.
Well, there's another one that's in the driveway. I guess that counts.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So of these 3 Volvos that are lying there.
And we have a 3-car garage that has room for 1 car.
So you have a Volvo that runs?
We have 2 that run. One.
So you have 5 Volvos altogether.
Yeah.
5 Volvos.
So anyway, we need to get rid of the 2. And I just need your advice on how I can get my husband to be willing to do that without calling the neighbors and asking them to call the cops.
What does your husband do for a living?
He's in biomedical engineering.
Does he ever go out of town?
No.
No conferences or anything?
Never.
Can you phony up a conference?
Not really.
On some pretense, you got to get him out of town.
Right. Would he notice if the cars were missing?
Actually, you know, I don't know about that. Actually, the one that's in the driveway is not so bad, but the one that's in the backyard, is we call her the gray lady. She's lost her front grill, so she looks like she doesn't have any teeth. She doesn't have any tires. She reminds me of my 102-year-old mother without her teeth.
So here's an idea. These cars that are in the backyard that you desperately want to get rid of, they don't match any of the cars that you currently own.
Well, one of them does, kind of, so we can use the parts, see?
Oh.
And he's very mechanically oriented. I mean, really, this man is gifted.
You know, here we are trying to tell you to get rid of these things.
Yeah.
I know that if it was me, I would have all those cars in my backyard, too.
See?
And why his wife made him move to,
I was gonna say, how many times
to an apartment building. Because the cars wouldn't fit in the elevator. Yeah, so this is a dilemma.
Yes.
But what if there was some higher purpose? What if there was someone else who needed the car more?
Yeah, but these don't run.
It doesn't make any difference. What if you made up an individual in another town that needed parts from these cars that you had, and maybe you could convince your husband that he should divest for the greater good of the community, for some struggling college student.
That could work.
Yeah, maybe you don't even have to lie about it. Maybe you could, like, put an ad in the paper.
That's how we get ours. We always get them from some place that hasn't had snow. We look in the paper and find a car that looks good and get a mechanic to check it out. And then we fly down there and we drive it home.
Oh, no, first of all, you're his enabler. You're going to be doing this.
Yeah, you're right. But I like the trips. One way to see the country,
oh,
guys.
Oh, Jalinda, I know, but you're creating your own problem.
Maybe we can find one in the Caribbean.
Well, there you go.
I want to know what bothers you about the car.
Well, I have to drive around one in the driveway and the other one's in the backyard.
Can you fence it in?
That's an idea.
How big a backyard do you have?
We have an acre and a half.
Oh,
come on.
Well, it's less to mow, isn't it?
No. You know what you need? You need to buy one of these build-on-site butler buildings.
Okay.
You know, a prefab garage, so to speak.
Like an outbuilding. Like
an outbuilding, exactly.
Yes.
And you just put it up around the car.
You're going to build it around the car, exactly. You're not driving the car into it.
Okay, and he wouldn't even notice. I could just do it some night, right?
Oh, exactly.
Are the neighbors getting restless?
Bless their hearts, they're not.
Well, you need to do something to incite them. Yeah, no, I think you need to do something to really tick them off. And maybe four or five more cars would do it.
A fire would do it.
So if you had a few more, maybe that you'd get to that tipping point where they'd start to complain, and then it would be easy. Then he'd say, okay, we have to get rid of them.
Yeah.
But he's going to be a tough sell. Either that or you need to relocate to a more rural area.
Oh, gosh. I don't know about that.
Oh, how about this?
Yeah.
How about the cars get relocated to a more rural area?
Okay.
If you still had the cars, but they weren't right there, we had to see them every day.
Right.
So you need to find someone that has a barn or something, ideally, where you could store these things.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay.
Get on that.
Okay, will do. Then we'd have to mow more grass, but I guess we could handle it.
I think so. You're going to have to tough it out. Good luck, Jolinda.
Jolinda.
Thanks a lot.
Great. Oh, it's been a pleasure. Trust us.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888.
I think we actually helped her.
We may have, but
let's not do that again.
She's part of the problem. She's enabling him to do this. She wants to go on the trips.
Yeah.
Oh, she's got to stop going. She's got to be more resistant. That's what my wife does.
Yeah.
When I have a bad idea, she digs her heels in. Car Talk, that's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's George in Tempe, Arizona.
Hey, George, what's going on, man?
Well, I know you guys from way back when. I actually rebuilt a carburetor at Hacker's Haven back when I was a student at Northeastern University.
Really?
No kidding.
How'd that carburetor work out for you?
Yeah, that's my question.
I kind of junked the car 2 weeks later.
Oh, we helped you, huh?
Yeah.
So what can we help you with now, George?
Well, I have a 2001 Audi Quattro A4, and it runs great. But the other day, the windshield wiper fluid indicator came on, so I opened up the hood and I poured some windshield wiper fluid accidentally into my brake reservoir.
George, in all these years, you haven't learned much.
I had good teachers.
So
yeah, us.
But these are like aren't these like at opposite corners of the under the hood area? I mean, the brake.
Absolutely, they're nowhere near each other. But because the windshield wipers are on the windshield and the reservoir was up near the firewall, I thought, well, that's got to be it.
It's got to be it. As close as it can be.
So when it overflowed after I poured about 4 to 6 ounces in, I realized and said, that's not empty. And I realized, oh, no. So I thought I better call you and see what's up.
Well,
what have you done since then?
Well, I haven't coasted through any red lights yet after putting the brakes on. And I am a little concerned that maybe if I do hit the brakes, the wipers are going to come on.
So you've been driving the car?
You've been driving the car.
Yeah.
Did you try to at least get like a turkey baster and siphon out the that's the first thing I would have done. I would have run right into the kitchen, grabbed my wife's best turkey baster.
Yeah.
And sucked out as much of the fluid. In fact, that would have evacuated the entire reservoir.
Yeah, but 2 days later, it's a little too late, right?
Well, it might be a little bit too late. So,
well, you've mixed it all in
together.
So
what new car are you interested in?
I do want a hybrid.
Well, you probably have not done any irreparable damage yet. I mean, there are worse things you could have put in there, like gasoline, motor oil, which would have reacted adversely with the rubber components. And of all things that you could put in there, windshield washer fluid, I guess, is mostly alcohol, which is what brake fluid is based on, and water. I mean, most windshield washer fluid is water, a lot of which would get absorbed by the brake fluid. So you need to flush this thing out.
I knew you were going to say that.
And you'll have to take it someplace where they can power flush it.
Okay.
And you may have done damage already because the water is going to rust pieces that shouldn't ever be exposed to water.
Well, that's the next question, then. When I do get the traded in, which is going to be soon, am I ethically bound to disclose this?
Are you ethically bound to disclose it? I would say yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you couldn't say, but it's been running fine ever since.
Oh, that's okay. True. That's true. So you could flush it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
then sell it to someone you don't like.
Yeah, like a relative. you should definitely take it someplace and have them power flush it. They will have fixed that cap that you removed. a device which pressurizes the brake fluid reservoir with fresh brake fluid. So they'll fill up this tank with fresh fluid, and then they will go around and open up all the bleeders and let this stuff just pour out.
Yep.
And it'll be pretty obvious when that big tank is empty that they will have flushed out everything, including all the contamination you put in there.
Okay.
And it may, you know, it may damage the seals in the ABS. It may not.
Okay.
You know, but to fix it, to go ahead and replace the ABS pump and the module and all that other stuff is going to cost several $1,000.
That's more than it's worth.
George, yeah. What were you thinking, man?
Honestly, it was just a proximity thing. I just thought, well, there's the reservoir.
So in all the years that you've owned this car, you've clearly added washer fluid many, many times, and you just...
That's actually the first time in two... I've owned it for 2 years. That's the first time I've ever put fluid in.
So. All right, well, you're done for. All right, well, get it flushed out. In fact, after they flush it, ask them to flush it a second time, just to make sure.
Okay.
And maybe you'll get lucky.
All right, thanks.
Not with the car. Maybe in some other way. See you later, George. Take
Bye.
Care, man. Bye-bye. All right, look. Let's discuss last week's puzzler.
You want to discuss it, huh? Before we discuss it, don't we have to, like, remember it first?
What do you mean, we, Kimosabe? Actually, I'll tell you what it was. It was a story about a woman who was convinced that her car was haunted.
Did my ex-wife call this morning?
No, she didn't, but I'll give you all the details, and we'll take more of your calls in just a minute.
So please stay tuned.
And even though the circus guys who follow elephants around with buckets think, at least I can hold my head high when I go home, whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if your cable box broke and you can't watch anything other than C-SPAN.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly.
<you know.
laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler. And this was submitted by someone named Wayne Newman.
Oh.
That's Newman, not the Dunkershank guy.
Oh.
You know, I know you're getting excited.
I was.
Now, anyway, here it is. It was a dark and foggy night. The thick fog surrendered only to the headlights of a tow truck illuminating a barn where a 60-odd-year-old car had sat for the last 20 years. Next to the car stood the driver of the tow truck and a little old gray-haired lady. "Look," said the driver, "you should pay me to tow this piece of junk out of here, but since I like you and it's late, I'll give you what you're asking for it." He knew the old car was worth 10 times her price. The old woman's bony fingers reached into her apron and pulled out the signed title.
Ooh.
Her voice cracked. "Before I give you this, I must tell you that my husband died working on this old car some 20 years ago. He loved this car and told me never to sell it. Some say his spirit still dwells within. But I need the money." "Oh, don't worry about me," laughed the tow truck driver. "I don't believe in any of that nonsense." "You've been warned," said the old woman. Just then a coyote howled in the distance.
Oh.
The tow truck driver hastily hitched up the old car before the old lady could change her mind. Then he drove down the pothole-ridden driveway. When he pulled out onto the deserted country road, he noticed a light coming through the back window of the tow truck cab. Looking in the rearview mirror, he saw the headlights of the car were on. How could this be, he thought. Could the old battery still have power after 20 years? More than a little nervous, he pulled over so he could disconnect the battery. As he walked back to the car, he noticed that the headlights were now off. He scratched his head, opened the hood. The battery was already disconnected. Just then a loud scream startled him. He turned around quickly to shine his flashlight on an owl perched in a tree. A dead tree. It's getting eerier by the minute, isn't it?
It's great.
The headlights must have been my imagination, he thought. He jumped back in the truck and started back down the dark road, only to find the headlights of the car once again illuminating the cab. He pulled over this time to turn off the car's light switch, and again the lights went out when he stopped. When he tried to open the driver's door of the old car, he found that it was locked. But with his flashlight, he could see that the passenger door was unlocked. He climbed in the passenger side. It was then that he figured out why the lights were on. The question is, why were the lights on? Pretty obvious, right?
Yeah.
Well, when he got in the passenger door, the first thing he encountered was the stick shift.
Mm-hmm.
He noticed that it was
in gear.
In gear.
Yes,
indeed.
He did.
And because it was an old car, rear-wheel drive,
mm-hmm.
when he lifted it up from the front with the thing in gear, the wheels were turning, the transmission was turning, so was the engine, and so was the generator. And the permanent magnet generator was making electricity to run the lights.
You got it.
He brought the car back and gave her got his money back. Do we have a winner?
Yes, we do. But I have to say that Wayne Newman there came up with a great puzzler.
Yeah, it was well written. I didn't even have to obfuscate.
If you can get enough guys like him to just write everything pre-obfuscated, you won't have anything to do.
I know.
You practically do nothing now.
I know.
You like it that way. Well, we do have a winner. The winner is Heather Sly from Chamblee, Georgia. And for having her answer selected at random from among the two correct answers that we got, the 2 million correct answers that we got, Heather gets a $26 gift certificate to the Shameless Commerce Division at cartalk.com, with which she can get one of our new kids' T-shirts.
Yeah, it's available in little kids' sizes, and it says, "Help, my parents make me listen to Car Talk."
That's not nice.
Yeah, you should never force your kids to listen to NPR unless the timeouts aren't working anymore. Anyway, we have a new puzzler coming up, so stay tuned for that. But first, you can call us at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, my name is Joel from Pasadena, California.
What's up?
I'm hoping you can settle a jovial dispute between me and my father. The dispute is about short trips with cars, which we all know are generally bad for the long-term life of the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in a situation where I have to take short trips fairly frequently because I street park my car, and I cannot park it for more than 3 days without getting a ticket. So every 3 days, I have to move my car. And I am of the opinion that when I have to move my car, I should try to take the short trip and make it a slightly longer one in order to get the engine completely warmed up before I eventually kill the engine. And my father is of the opinion that if I have to do a short trip, I should just make it as short and sweet as possible, pull out of the one parking spot, go around the block, find another parking spot, and kill the engine.
So can you park on the other side of the street? Is that what this all entails?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I can move 50 feet and find another spot. They're very restrictive about parking.
So you just can't stay in the same spot.
Right. I have to move to another spot every
few days.
But
it can be like the next spot.
Yeah, it could be the next spot.
So you presumably you could push the car.
How would they know?
That's a very good question. To be honest, I've sort of wondered if I could get away with ignoring the rule.
You got to try it.
You got to give it a shot.
You got to get the guy in front of you to move or swap with him.
No, like, not even
you
that.
You take my spot,
no,
I'll take yours.
Better than that, just swap the plates.
That too.
But which is better if you have to do a short trip?
Well, how long a trip are you considering?
Well, I'm proposing that, you know, I drive 5-10 minutes, go to the grocery store or something, just to get the engine fully warmed up. Because I read on your website that the issue with short trips is like creating water in the engine or something.
Yeah, we made most of that stuff up.
That's baloney. That's nonsense.
it's going to take more than 5 minutes to get that out of the system. In fact, what you're going to do in those first 5 minutes is you're going to create water that you're not going to get rid of.
So you agree with my dad. I should keep it as short as possible.
Oh, I think you should drive exactly to the very next spot.
Okay.
You'll create very little water in doing so, and you won't degrade the oil. You won't put very much more water into the exhaust system. But I think if you drove it for 4 or 5 minutes only, I think that's potentially worse.
Man, guys, you realize now I have to go admit to my father that He was right, and I was
wrong.
I know,
it's tough, isn't it? No, yeah. I would do what Dad suggests. I would drive it, if you can get away with driving it 30 seconds. But if you were really going to do something so that you wouldn't do damage, I think you would have to drive the car for at least 20 minutes.
At least 20.
Yeah, I think
that would
so.
Be ridiculous. Why
right,
bother?
Because then you'd just be wasting gasoline. If you really had something to do... So if you could devise your schedule so that when you had to move the car, you also had to do 20 minutes of driving to do errands and whatever, that would make sense. But I wouldn't certainly drive it just for the sake of driving it. Because it's going to wear out your engine. It's going to waste fuel. It's going to pollute the air, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all that stuff.
I like the idea of switching the plates with the car in front of me.
I like that idea, too, actually. Or maybe everyone could switch plates. We'd confuse the hell out of them.
Okay, sounds great.
Just tell the police to send a ticket to my brother.
Sure. Good luck, Joel. Make peace
right,
with make peace with Dad. See you later,
thank
man.
You very much.
Bye.
Hey, do you know what time it is?
Got time to plant the tulip bulbs between your front seats?
No. It's time to play Stump the Chumps. This is the part of the show where we dig up a caller from a previous show to see if our advice was any good.
And more importantly, why it wasn't. So who's on this week, Tommy?
It's Mary Gordon from Austin, Texas. And by the way, Mary Gordon is her first name.
Oh, right. It's like the female version of, like, Billy Bob, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, Mary Gordon called us because her Mazda Tribute was making noise.
My car started making a high-pitched one-note sound constantly. And this sound is, it's an E-flat above the C, above middle C.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. And the only time it goes off is when I hit the brake. I did stop by the dealer when it started this, and they didn't have a mechanic on standby for me, and the guy came out and he said, it's from your brakes, it's not a big deal.
Oh, so he heard the noise.
He heard it. He didn't think I was crazy.
Wait a minute. He said, you're not crazy?
He didn't mention that.
Oh. Well, it turns out she was no crazier than anyone else who calls us.
That's damning by faint praise.
I guess so. But look, we told Mary Gordon she had a leak, we believed, in the diaphragm of her power brake vacuum booster.
Yes, we did.
Well, let's see if we struck out or not. Mary Gordon, are you there?
Hello from Austin, Texas.
Hi. All right, Mary Gordon, we have not spoken since your last appearance on Car Talk, have we?
Nary a word.
And the answer you're about to give has not been influenced by our staff, the staff of NPR, or by the super-powered noise-canceling headphones that we sent you.
Not one iota.
Great. So anyway, was it the vacuum brake booster?
Well, you know, I wouldn't have called y'all unless I knew you were going to tell the truth, and you were right on, so right on.
Really?
Really. I mean, you were so right on that I just said, well, of course, they always are right on. Now, I've heard a few times where you weren't, but I think that was a miscommunication.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Can I give you my wife's private number so you can call her?
Surely.
Well, that's great. So you went in and you told them, I think it's my vacuum booster, and they corroborated that.
What? I didn't say a word. I kept it a secret.
Oh, that was smart.
Heads up.
And they figured it out for themselves.
By themselves. And so when I got back in the car, I was so bored because, you know, I'd been trying to sing all these songs, tapping on the brake, jingle bell. And they also fixed my radio, which I didn't bring up, but it was changing channels in the middle of driving down the road just by itself. And so it set on NPR, and they fixed that. And now I can listen to you all uninterrupted.
Oh, wow. My God. A red letter day, to say the least.
Boy, oh, boy.
It was a happy, happy day, except now I have to keep a comb with a piece of paper in the car.
Yeah.
I get so bored, you know, when I'm driving down the street.
Well, I'm going to suggest you take up the harmonica.
I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, you can get one of those things like Bob Dylan wears, you know, around your neck.
Oh, one of those neck braces?
Yeah, so you can play the harmonica while you're driving.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And when you crash the thing and the airbag goes off, you'll have that harmonica surgically implanted.
You know, it's better than braces, don't you think?
I think it's going to go a little farther down than that. Every breath you'll be playing a tune. Well, Mary Gordon, It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, it's no greater pleasure than mine, so keep up the good work.
We shall. Thanks for playing Stump the Chumps.
I loved it. Bye.
So long.
So long. If you hear someone you'd like us to bring back for Stump the Chumps, email us your suggestion from cartalk.com.
Or you can call and stump us right now. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. A lawyer on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Johnny from Tempe, Arizona.
Hey, Johnny, what's going on?
Well, I have a 1988 Dodge Dakota four-cylinder.
I had one of those. I had an 87.
Oh, that was the first year on them.
But I exactly, and I had the very powerful six-cylinder because I knew that four was going to be a dog.
Yeah, I call it the pig, but now it's got the most interesting problem on it. Every time I make a left turn, the engine cuts out.
Really?
And it's generally more of a, if you swerve, it does it absolutely every time, which is a problem because I have an S turn at the end of my street. But, I mean, I can plan trips, you know, just to make all right turns, and I can pretty well get around with the thing. But it's been doing this for a couple of months.
Is this a stick shift or is it an automatic?
It's a four-speed.
It's a four-speed. And is it carbureted or fuel-injected?
It's carbureted, and that's been a problem since day one.
It still is. That's your problem.
Well, here's the thing, though, is that it doesn't matter how hard a right turn I take. It won't cut out. I thought maybe the gas was sloshing around the bowl.
Yeah,
that's exactly what's happening.
That's what's going on?
And it won't happen on a right turn, but it'll happen on a left because of the way that the float is pivoting inside the carburetor. So when you take that left-hand turn, I don't remember, quite honestly, how the carburetor sits on the manifold, but it must be such that it allows that float, which must be, after all these years and thousands of tankfuls of gas, saturated with gasoline, and the float dives. It actually sinks deeper into the gasoline in the float bowl than it should, and it floods the engine. It allows gasoline to pour over into the main metering well, and it floods it out, just as if it would flood out if someone had poured a half a cup of gasoline down the throat of the carburetor.
Well, now, here's the funny thing about it.
Yeah.
When it cuts out, all I have to do is touch the starter, and it starts right back up.
It could be that you're pouring just enough gasoline in there to drown out the spark plugs for a split second, and then you turn the key, and bang,
Bingo.
It starts up. Because once you've stopped, the thing has kind of corrected itself.
Oh, okay.
So
yeah.
I think there's a very good chance that it is that. The other possibility is that there's a relay somewhere that's controlling the electronic ignition that may be suffering from left-hand turnitis, you know. But I don't think so. I think that the better chance is that, in fact, it's the carburetor.
Okay.
I'm sticking with that.
All right, so I should rebuild her again then, huh?
Well, if you're going to rebuild it, make sure you buy a new float.
Okay.
Which you probably don't get with the rebuild kit. So if you put a new needle and seat in and new gaskets and all that, you're going to still have the same problem.
Okay.
Good luck, man.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks a lot.
All right. He'll be calling us back any minute. All right, look, it's time for us to take a short break. And when we come back, it'll be time for the new puzzler.
Is he going to knock my socks off?
Probably not. But it's funny you should mention that. We got an email from someone named Samuel Barringer, because I guess you used that phrase a few weeks ago.
I certainly did.
Well, Sam says on the TV show Mythbusters, they decided to see if it was possible to knock someone's socks off. The good news? They were indeed able to knock the socks off a mannequin that they used to test the myth. The bad news? It took an explosion of several hundred pounds of force, and it also knocked the legs, head, arms, and torso off. So maybe you don't want the puzzler to knock your socks off after all.
No, I'll keep the socks, thank you very much.
Anyway, the new puzzler, which promises to leave your socks alone, is from my Last Gasp of the Fiat series.
Oh!
Yes, and we'll be right back with that and more of your car questions in just a minute, so please stay tuned.
I'm a pothole picker on the streets of life. I do my best to avoid all strife. I hate the big holes. I hate the small. I'd rather walk than drive. I'd rather crawl. Fill them up, fill them up. I don't care what you use. Fill them up with rubber. Someone I
And even though Spanish inquisitors start fumbling around for their thumbscrews whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.
Ah, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the new Puzzler.
Yeah, from your last gasp of the Fiat series?
Exactly.
I knew it.
Yeah, well, this was sent in by a young lady, Ann McDonald, and this is, you're going to see, it's going to sound a little like your Fiat. You'll be Ann. Reminded of your Fiat.
Oh, I remember it so well.
She writes, I smell it, too. Well, this is appropriate.
Really?
Yes. She says, I'm a seventh grade student attending a school right across the river from your fair city. And I was doing my math homework this evening, and I realized that it was both car-related and a puzzler.
Huh.
Here goes, she says.
Yeah.
A car travels at a steady speed of 45 miles per hour. On its best day, the Fiat couldn't go much more than that.
Yeah. It was good for me.
Yeah, exactly. Its fuel consumption is 30 miles to the gallon. You're writing all this down?
Yeah, I am.
So 45 miles an hour, 30 miles to the gallon is the consumption. It has, just like your Fiat, a 15-gallon gas tank, mm-hmm. which was full when the car started off. Okay?
Yeah.
But at the very moment the car begins to move at this 45 miles an hour, the gas tank begins to leak fuel.
Oh.
Hence the smell, right?
Yeah.
Hence the reminiscence of your Fiat. After 225 miles, the car stops completely. Oh, 225 miles. That's the farthest a Fiat had ever went in one stretch. Stops completely because it's got an empty gas tank.
Oh.
And so here's the question, and you might think you don't have enough information to answer this, but I think you do.
Yeah.
How many gallons per hour was the car leaking? Yes, you got that?
Gallons per hour.
Should I repeat the pertinent data?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, you're driving at 45 miles an hour.
Uh-huh.
Okay, gets 30 miles to the gallon. It has a 15-gallon tank. All this is pertinent.
Yep.
You drove the car for 225 miles and kaput, it stopped.
Yeah.
So some of the gas it clearly burned and some of the gas it leaked.
And some just disappeared.
Well, no. So the question is, what was the rate at which it was leaking? Now, if you think you know the answer, write it on the deck of an FIIK Street Surfer electric all-terrain skateboard. Whoa. With aluminum-rimmed off-road pneumatic tires, lithium iron phosphate batteries, with a 22-mile range, ABS brakes, and handheld digital wireless controller for the rider. And send it along with a home body cast kit to Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238.
Or you can email us your answer from cartalk.com.
Indeed you can. Now, if you have a question for us, give us a call at 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Cheryl from Bainbridge Island, Washington.
Cheryl. Like Shirley, but missing the last two letters.
Exactly.
So what's up, Cheryl?
I have a 2006 Toyota Tacoma, and I'm calling because we were driving across the state from near Spokane, Washington, over to Bainbridge, and we had a half a ton of pellets in the bed of our truck. We pulled up our driveway.
These pellets, these are wood pellets to burn in your stove, as I trust?
Yes.
Okay. Oh.
And when we got out, there was a really overwhelming smell, like burned rubber.
You know what it probably was?
What?
Burned rubber.
I think so. Well, we thought maybe the pellets got hot on the way over, but there's been rain, so it couldn't have been that.
No. So if you had to, did you sniff around?
We did. It seemed to be coming from underneath the car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the front, not the back, just kind of where I got out of the passenger's seat.
And has it done it since then?
You know, it has not done it since then, but my husband said that it had done it a couple of times before then, but we were not hauling pellets.
But I bet you it always happened near the end of a longish trip.
It does always happen when we're stopped after driving for some time, but here we drive for some time.
Right. So my guess is it's one of several things, either a stuck brake.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and the way to find that out is the next time you drive it a long distance. And even before you get the smell, you can get out and you can walk around and compare the temperature of the front wheels and then compare the temperature of the two rear wheels. They'll be different, but the two rear wheels should be the same. And if you notice that, for example, the right front wheel is a lot harder than the left front wheel, then I would suggest then that the right front brake is sticking.
Aha!
The other possibility is that you're leaking something that is getting slung onto the exhaust system. For example, if you were leaking differential oil, that could be slung onto the exhaust pipe, and that would make a smell that's not quite like burning rubber, but it's like burning...
Burning something.
Burning something. Yeah, it's like burning old gym socks. I mean, it smells like burning oil. You know,
it could have been that, too, that smell.
It's clearly something that's getting overheated or something that's leaking, and it's making that smell because a lot of it is accumulating someplace. So when you stepped out of the passenger door and you smelled this smell, you should have gone out on your hands and knees and sniffed around a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You might have met a few neighborhood dogs under there. but short of that, you can just take it someplace, especially once you've gotten right off the highway, and have them put it on the lift and say, hey, what am I leaking? They'll smell the smell, and they'll probably see the evidence of the leak.
Well, great.
Take it in, Cheryl.
Well, thank you both very much.
All right, see you later.
Good luck.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, guys. Richard from Gonzales, Louisiana. How you doing?
Richard, we're doing great. What's going on, man?
Hey, last week I was driving up in Tacoma, and I was following this truck that was loaded with pellets and this awful rubber, burning rubber.
Well, you know, I have no idea what that is.
Come on, Doc.
What an interesting coincidence.
What are the chances?
Well, I got one of the problems that one of my new sayings as I'm getting into my senior years is don't get married, don't have children. So, therefore, you know where my problem starts.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He drives a 2003 Dodge Ram.
Okay.
And there are four defrost vents on the dashboard that blow on the windshield. The two on the left are missing the grill.
Oh.
And that's where my cell phone fell.
Oh.
Down the left one, and it looks as though the left one connects to the second one on the right, and then they both go down like a Y.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So then I took out 115 screws, bolts, nuts, and washers, and nothing budged. It was as tight as ever.
Oh, boy. So you want to get at this thing. Obviously, your cell phone, what happened to the grills?
They just went away, you know. So we bought one of those mats that you can get to cover, because the whole dashboard was starting to crack.
Oh, I see.
So we got that, and that's why I said, go get some screen at the hardware store and just kind of tack and glue it on there, and that way nothing will fall down that hole. I don't know what could be there. There could be people living down there.
There could be.
You know?
Small people, but people nonetheless. So what 115 screws, nuts, and bolts did you take off? Are you trying to take the dashboard off?
No, I went underneath.
Jeez, I would imagine that ductwork is gonna be pretty... I'll be honest, I have not taken that ductwork off of a Dodge Ram.
Right.
But I would imagine you ought to be able to get at it pretty easily.
Okay.
You sure that's where you left it and it's not in some bar room someplace? Because that happens too, you know.
I might have left it in Tacoma.
You could have left it in Tacoma. But can you see that ductwork from underneath?
I could see some large container or fan housing, like right behind the radio.
Well, that's exactly where the terminus of all this stuff is. It might be easiest, and you'd have to get a repair manual. I don't have one in front of me, but it might be easiest to take out the instrument cluster.
Oh, yeah, never thought of that.
Okay, if you pull the instrument cluster, you're going to be looking right at that ductwork.
That's right.
And that stuff comes off pretty easily. Back in the old days, you had to get under there and unhook the speedometer cable and all that and line your back and get contorted and all that. But now all that stuff comes out from the front.
Right,
and when you pull that instrument cluster, there'll be a bunch of wires that connect to it, but they're all in the form of plugs that you can't put in the wrong sockets.
I gotcha.
And you should be able then to maybe squeeze, that's very light, thin plastic.
Right.
You should be able to squeeze that stuff, and maybe if you're lucky, you could even dial, make a phone call.
Right.
If you press it just right. And at least if you know where the phone is, then you can be a little more aggressive insofar as ripping that stuff out. But I think that might be the easiest way to access that stuff.
I never thought of that.
So put those 115 screws back before.
Yeah,
And by the way, you're only going to find holes for about 80 of them. But put all those screws back before you forget where most of them go, and then take that instrument cluster out.
I got you. That's what I'm going to try.
All right, good luck,
Richard.
I got one other problem.
Go ahead.
My wife's telling me to, she's making a list for me for this fall when there's no football season.
Uh-huh.
What do I tell the girl? Come on, I can't fake a football game on television.
Oh, so you're worried that there's not going to be a football season,
right?
And then you're going to have to do stuff with your wife.
There you go.
Yeah, what pray tell does she want you and she to do together?
You know, gardening, antiquing.
Well, you might have to.
How long have you been married?
41.
41.
Okay, then just give it up.
Do whatever she wants. You've had it your way for a long time, man. You've had a lot of football seasons.
Yeah.
He's all yours, hon. Good luck, Richard.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for your call. Bye-bye.
Now, I would like to meet that guy.
I would like to meet Richard, too. He sounds like a lot of fun. Well, we might get to meet him. There's no football this year, so maybe he'll take a trip up north. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Jennifer calling from Toledo, Ohio.
Hi, Jennifer. What's going on?
Well, I'm calling in because my boyfriend is, we're both medical students in Ohio, and he just got into a residency program in Seattle, Washington, and he wants to drive his 1983 Honda Civic across country, which I don't think is a good idea.
Mm.
Some of the issues with this car is that the alignment is off, the turn signal, he needs to actually reach in to, like, the steering wheel column to get that to work.
Oh, yeah, because the little arm is broken off.
Yeah, exactly. It didn't accelerate very well, so he changed the spark plug himself. I'm not really sure how well that works.
Well, he's a doctor, for God's sake. He's probably going to be doing heart transplants in a couple of weeks. Changing spark plugs is
on the highway.
Exactly. So go ahead.
Also, the muffler is broken.
Okay.
My biggest concern, though, is actually that the radiator seems to be leaking cooling fluid, and the car overheats, and he tried to fix it himself, but he just ended up cutting some tubes and then replacing it with new tubes on top of the old tube, which, you know, didn't do much of anything. So,
and doesn't he know that he's not going to make it across the country?
And here's the bigger question. He obviously wants you to accompany him.
Actually, I can't because I'm still in medical school. So.
Lucky you.
Perfect. So you're just concerned about his welfare.
Yes, I'm concerned about his safety. I'm also concerned that he's going to end up in the middle of somewhere where he can't get parts for this because it's an old car and foreign.
Sure.
And
right,
you know,
right. You know what he can always get, though, no matter where he is? You can always get a bus. Yeah, so the one thing he should absolutely take with him is some means of removing the license plates. So he can take the plates off, sell the car, or abandon it or whatever, and then turn the plates in so he can cancel his registration. Because that's what he'll have to do. Yeah, no, I think there's an odds-on chance
that he could make it.
That he could make it.
Yeah.
I mean, the muffler, you know, the muffler will fall off. The last 500 miles will be noisy. The radiator will leak, but he'll continue to put pepper and egg whites in, and he'll get that to slow down. The alignments, he can get that taken care of. And these are all small potatoes things. And I think he's going to have a story to tell if he survives the trip.
So you're saying that I should let him go? Like, he's not going to die, you don't think?
I don't think he's going to die. And I think the best advice you could give him is to drive at speeds below 55.
Below 55?
Preferably 15.
he could very well make it.
Okay.
Yeah, he could make it. And if he doesn't make it, I don't think it's going to... And here's what you can do to satisfy you that the car is safe. Ask him, and be willing to pay for this, to take it to a repair shop, have them put it up on the lift and check the conditions of things like his ball joints and his brakes, and especially the brake hoses, to make sure that nothing like that is going to fail and cause a wheel to fall off or the car to go careening down a hill at 90 miles an hour and have him crash into a tree. So as long as you know that the safety systems are all right, when the muffler falls off, if it does, he'll deal with that along the way.
Okay.
But that's, I think, the best you can hope for. Because you know he's going to do it anyway.
He's here with me. He's smiling, hearing.
Oh, he's right there.
Can we talk to this nut job?
Yeah, sure. Here he is.
Hello?
Hello, who's this?
This is JP.
Hey, JP.
Hey, JP. So, what are you, nuts?
No, I just love this car. You know, it's been, it was my first car, then it was my younger brother's first car, and then my younger sister's first car.
And it's come full circle now.
Yeah, and I love it because it's, you know, it's very simple, so I feel like the things that do go wrong with it, I'm able to fix.
Yeah, yeah, you might want to take maybe some kind of an emergency. No, you couldn't possibly bring enough stuff. but do promise us and promise Jennifer that you're going to take the car someplace and have him put it on the lift to make sure that
nothing's
the ball joints,
off.
The tie rod
yeah.
ends, the brake lines, and all that stuff are safe.
Mm-hmm.
And if all that stuff is safe,
good
everything
luck.
Else is inconsequential.
Yeah.
And as long as you have a credit card, you can get a Greyhound bus out to the mm-hmm. West Coast, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Right, there you go. Go for it, man.
All right, thanks.
Oh, she's not going to be happy. You don't have to put Jennifer back on the line. We don't want to hear her.
Okay.
Have a good trip and keep us posted, so to speak.
Okay, I will.
All
Thank
right,
you guys.
See you, JP.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, boy. Well, it's happened again, believe it or not. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk.
Yeah, I have.
Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy Berman. Our associate producers are David the Cavs of Belleville Green, Carly High Voltage Nix, and Catherine Frau Blucher Venalosa. Blackie. Is Doug the Old Gray Mare. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our intern is Ariel Niedermeyer. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the West Racine, Lean Cuisine, Pinto Bean, Ventus Bean, Papaya Green, Raw Sardine, Loose Fit Jean, Free Lunch Scene, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Margin of Error. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our cruise director is Eaton Doolittle. Our TSA screener is Pat Matukas. Our director of disaster preparedness is Evan Stubetzi. Our short order cook is Diego Varese. Our Moby Dick scholar is Darcy Blows. Our beauty expert is Ida B. Holder. Tommy's personal psychiatrist is Manny Luce Cruz. Our optometric firm is CFI Care. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn. The head of our working mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is U. Lewis Dewey, known to the almost melted icebergs in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers. And don't drive like my brother.
Oh, and while you're at it,
yes.
Don't drive like my brother.
We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1114, Ruminate, through the Car Talk archives, or check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com.
Also this week at cartalk.com, we answer your questions.
For instance, this week, Kate asks if it's bad if a big chunk of ice blows out your tailpipe. And we said, well, Kate, it's better if it blows out your car's tailpipe.
Come on, that's what she meant.
Oh, you think? Well, you can read this week's column in which we answer Kate and search thousands of other Dear Tom and Ray columns all this week at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR Boston.
And even though dogs dig up the bone and bury the radio whenever they hear us say it, this is NPR.